Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Alton Beal. Thank you so much for being here. How many of you brought your Bibles here today? Amen. Am I on here today? Can you tell? Well, good. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. We did have a great time with Brother Alton at our church just a few weeks ago. Brother Comfort told me, though, said, watch out for him. Make sure he takes his medicine. As long as he takes his medicine, he'll be okay. And Brother Alton, you took your medicine. I see you took it this morning. And I'm glad to be here today. Brother Alton, I don't know you know about this, but I had a dream about you last night. I dreamed about you. That's a scary thought in itself. Some may call that a nightmare, not a dream. But I had a dream last night that he and his wife were celebrating their 30th wedding anniversary. Brother Alton, the romantic man that he is, their whole celebration was having a walk down the street of Lattimore holding hands. 30 years of marriage, and when his wife found this very ornamented bottle on the side of the street, she picked it up and was a little curious and was trying to rub it a little bit to see what it was all about, when all of a sudden this genie popped out of the bottle. And this genie was so excited for being pent up for 1,000 years in this bottle that the genie promised both of them a wish. Anything that they dreamed about, anything that they wanted, it would be granted that of their wish. Now, what shocked me in this dream was that his wife got very irate and says, I want you to know I've been married to this skinflint for 30 years. And how he's never taken me anywhere. That all I've ever seen was the streets of Lattimore. And so what I wish is that I would have a dream vacation to that of Hawaii. And poof, immediately, in her hand was two tickets to that of Honolulu, Hawaii. Oh, she was so excited. And Alton got excited. He said, wow, this genie's for real. So we got to thinking. He said, you know, for my one and only wish, says, I got to thinking about that. I sure wish that I was married to a woman that was 30 years younger than me. And poof, immediately, he was 80 years old. I did that because he did something to me at my church and embarrassed me. And, you know, vengeance is mine, saith David Mims. Amen. You're in your places there. Romans there. It's good to see Anthony Green. Anthony is marrying that of my deaf interpreter at my church. And I want to congratulate them. He's taken her away. Low down, dirty dog. But no, I congratulate him. No, it's good to be here. Well, I want to get serious here this morning. I don't have much time, but I do want to talk to you about what ought to be the greatest duty, really ought to be the greatest desire, and the greatest demonstration of love that you can ever do. By the way, you just don't declare love, you demonstrate love. And the Apostle Paul here is the writer here, so I just want to read the first 5 verses here this morning, and then I want to speak to you about the heart of a soul winner. The heart of a soul winner. You say, oh, I've heard messages about being a soul winner. I've heard messages before. Well, I want to look at the heart of a man who truly was a soul winner. So let's read here the first 5 verses of Romans chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, how that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Hey, I can't read those verses without going to chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Lord, that you'll be with me here this morning, that the Holy Spirit be upon me and fill me. I need the Holy Spirit today. I need the Holy Spirit to give me clarity of mind and to give me clarity of speech here today as I speak to a very vital need among that of the brothers and sisters in Christ here today. Now, Lord, I pray that our minds will be clear, that our minds will not be on the exams that we're about to take here, that it'll not be upon the papers that may be due, but, Lord, that the focus of the need of the hour will be here this morning, that the distractions of the outside world will not be entering our mind, but that God would draw us close and speak to us about a very important need that the Holy Spirit wants to speak on today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as I've already said, what ought to be the greatest duty, desire, and demonstration of love of every born-again believer is that we would share Christ with others, that we would see others to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say this, and I think the Scripture bears this out, that if God meant for you to become a born-again believer just so that you'd go to heaven, that as soon as you got saved, that poof, immediately you would be in heaven. But there's a reason you're still here. And there's a reason that this college exists. It's not just for the training for pastors, for missionaries, for preachers, for that of Christian service, but it is so that you can go out and that you can share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with that of a dying people who desperately need to hear that Jesus saves. There's one thing that you can say about the heart of the Apostle Paul is that the Apostle Paul loved the souls of mankind. Listen, the Apostle Paul, in my mind, was one of the greatest Christians that has ever lived. And in fact, I would say that Paul was a man with a message. Here's a man who was sharing the greatest message that has ever been given among that of mankind, and it was that of his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. How that Jesus is the Son of God, how he came to this earth, took on that of the robe of that of human flesh, how he died, how he lived a perfect life, and how he died on Calvary, shed his blood, so that anybody who would just simply trust the finished work of the cross of Calvary and trust Jesus Christ and ask him to save him could have that of eternal life and live in glory with him. Hey, he had the greatest message about that of his master. He had the greatest mission of life, to share that message of the Lord Jesus Christ. What amazes me so much is the Apostle Paul, along with a motley crew of other men, a motley crew of other believers, of born-again believers, those who were disciples, men who were fishermen, men who were zealots of political issues, men who were that of tax collectors, along with so many others, as the book of Acts tells us, that these men, they had the same message. They have the same master. They had the same mission that, according to Acts, they turned the world upside down. Oh, that we still had men and women who still believe in the same message, who still have Jesus as their master, who still have the same mission to let a lost and dying world know that Jesus saves, that we too can turn the world upside down. I read about in the book of Acts, how in Acts chapter 2, how that thousands, 3,000 were saved. Acts chapter 4, 5,000 men. Doesn't mention the women and the children. Obviously, there were women and children there, but how because of these men who believed that same message, who still believed that they had a great master, had that mission. That I must ask myself, why do we not see thousands saved? Let me ask you this question. Is there a problem with the message? Is that the reason we're not seeing people saved? God forbid. No way, Jose. The message is still the same. The message, the gospel still has the power to save any individual. I've seen it. I've experienced it for myself. You've experienced it for yourself. So is there a problem with the message? Is there a problem with our master? Oh, my friend, don't ever let that enter that of your lips. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What about that of the mission? Well, I'm here to tell you, you and I still have the same great mission. It is clear. It is defined in that of Paul's day. I said in that of my own pulpit just a few weeks ago, there are many names that are given of that of the child of God. We're called sons of God. We're called saints of God. We're called servants of God. We're called children of God. We're called chosen of God. Hey, we've been most definitely called of God. We are called disciples. We are called friends. But Jesus Christ Himself said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He says, ye shall be witnesses. Hey, I'm here to tell you the mission has not changed. So why is it that we're not seeing as many people saved as we did in the days of Paul and that of Peter and that of the other apostles and disciples? Why? Is there a problem with the message? Absolutely not. Is there a problem with that of our master? Oh, my friend, definitely not. Has the mission changed? Oh, no. Well, if you want to know what is the problem with that of soul winning today, now listen to me, the problem with soul winning today is that there is a problem with the heart of the soul winner. The heart of the soul winning problem is there is a problem with the heart of the soul winner. So for the short time I have still here this morning, from this passage of Scripture, we see the very heart of the Apostle Paul. And I want to share with you, I'm going to break these verses down and share with you three very simple thoughts that reveals the heart of the Apostle Paul, the heart of a soul winner. Number one, may I bring to your attention that the Apostle Paul had a heart of agony. The Apostle Paul had a heart of agony. Now, look at our passage here today. You will see that Paul makes a very incredible statement. Notice what he says in verse 2. He says, I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Hey, my friend, if you understood what that statement meant, you would understand that the Apostle Paul made an incredible statement. In fact, that statement is so incredible, the Apostle Paul knew, the Apostle Paul understood his history, the Apostle Paul knew that of his reputation. You see, before Paul got saved, he was a man who hated Christ. He was a man who hated that of Christianity. It was his goal in life to stomp out that of the Lord Jesus, to stomp out that of the cause of Christ, to find Christians, to persecute them, to arrest them. If he could do it, he would have murdered them. Many times he did. Here's a man who had a reputation across the world as a man who stood completely against the cause of Christ. But one day he met Christ on the road to Damascus, and everything about his life changed immediately, and now he wants to reach others for Christ. But he knew his reputation preceded him, and therefore, when he makes this statement, he makes such an incredible statement. He says, listen, I know you know my past. I know you know where I came from, but I want you to know that everything about me has changed. I want to see people saved, and just to let you know that I am sincere, I pull in two witnesses. I make such an incredible statement that I pull two very credible witnesses. I pull in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pull in the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 1, I say the truth in Christ. He said, listen, the statement I'm about to make is so incredible, you may not believe it, so I want to bring in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has never lied. All men are liars, but God never lies. And He knows my heart. He knows what I'm about to tell you is the absolute truth, that I want to see people come to Christ. He says, not only do I pull in the Lord Jesus Christ, I pull in the Holy Spirit. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. And then he makes this incredible statement. I wish, for I could wish, that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Can I say just a couple things, a couple of quick things about his heart of agony? Can I say this? Paul had a painful heart. His heart of agony was painful. Notice what it says in verse 2. There's two words that just jump right out of that verse. He says, there is a heaviness, there is a sorrow. Hey, my friend, I believe this because Paul says, I pull in Jesus Christ, I pull in the Holy Spirit as witnesses. I want you to know I have a great sorrow and a great heaviness of heart to see people saved. I believe this with all of my heart. The Apostle Paul was a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a testimony he had to share. And I'm sure that he, like you and I, that you come across, there have been countless people who just look at him as a crazy nut and they don't want to listen to what he has to say. Maybe he's had doors slammed in his face. Maybe he's had people curse him out and use foul language. But believe me, that was still heavy on the heart of the Apostle Paul. I am sure that many times he'd go to the synagogue and preach to men who said, I'm okay. I've kept the Ten Commandments. I'm religious. I'm respected in this world. Don't you worry about me. I'm okay. I don't need Christ. And then the Apostle Paul would go and cry and weep over those people. I'm sure there's been many a night he pillowed his head and tears would stream down his eyes and stain his pillow at night out of pure agony over the soul of the person that he spoke to that day. Time out. By the way, can I say something? I can say this as a pastor. I can say this as being as a youth director. I can say this on the behalf of Brother Comfort and Brother Bill and the leadership of this place. You don't understand the heart of a pastor until you've been there. You don't understand what it's like for someone to come into your office and they pour out their heart and they pour out their soul and they tell you about the struggles that they're going through, and then you share with them the Word of God, and something inside of them, pride, rebellion, rebels against what God tells them to do, and they walk away angry at you as a pastor. They grow angry at you as an administrator, and they say, I don't want to have anything to do anymore, and you don't understand how a pastor goes home and weeps and cries. I'm here to tell you, there's been many a student that's gone through the offices there, of the president's office, through Brother Bill's office, and how that they sometimes have been shared with about troubles in their life, and they've been given great godly advice, and that person has rebelled and they refused. And I'm here to tell you, you go away mad, but they stay in that office weeping, crying. This Paul had a heart of agony. It was painful. But secondly, I want you to notice this. Not only was it painful, it was persistent. It was persistent. Notice what it says in verse 2. It says, I have a great heaviness. And what's the next word? Continual. Continual sorrow in my heart. Hey, friend, I don't think Paul the next morning said, well, that's it. I prayed for him. If that's their decision, that's their tough luck. I'm going to newer and better things. I don't think he forgot. I think it stayed with them days and months. Even though they may have pushed away that of the gospel message, I'll tell you what, and Paul may have gone to the next town and gone to the synagogue, but I guarantee you, that same night he still wondered about those that was in that city he just left. And he still cried. and he still wept. Hey, can I tell you the reason some of y'all, and listen, I know I'm in the Bible college. I went to Bible school. I know what goes on in Bible college. Some of you, the reason you haven't won anybody to the Lord Jesus Christ in weeks, in months, here it is. You don't have a heart of agony. You may have already witnessed to the guy at the gas station. He may have rebuffed that of your attempts to, and listen, you forgot completely about him. You didn't cry. You didn't weep. You didn't go to your knees and continue to pray for them. And the reason we're not seeing people saved today, Brother Alton, because we don't have a heart of agony. The Apostle Paul had a heart of agony. Do you know what it takes to be a soul winner? To have the heart of a soul winner, it takes a heart of agony. Number two, the Apostle Paul not only had a heart of agony, the Apostle Paul had a heart of affection. Not only a heart of agony, but a heart of affection. Now again, I draw you to verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. Accursed from Christ for my brethren's sake. Accursed from Christ. Had the gentleman earlier give the testimony about that of Greek. Anybody know what the Greek word is here for accursed? I heard it behind me. Anathema. Anathema. Do you know what anathema means? To be damned. To be damned. My friend, here's what the Apostle Paul was saying. And you have to admit, this is an incredible statement. He said, I would be willing to go to hell if it meant somebody would get saved. I would be willing to go to hell. Anybody here willing to go to hell? You willing to go to hell? Not me. One of the leading reasons I got saved is because I didn't want to go to hell. And Paul is saying, I'm willing to go to hell. Let's slam the brakes right here for a second. Let me just tell you what Paul is not saying. Let me tell you, Paul is not saying that once you're saved, you can lose your salvation and can go to hell. Paul was a good Baptist. Hey, if Paul believed you could lose your salvation and go to hell, he never would have written chapter 8. He says that nothing can ever separate us from the love of Christ. Absolutely nothing. I'm here to tell you that once you've accepted Jesus Christ, I don't care what you do. I don't care what others may try. You cannot go to hell. Brother Alton, I told somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. I was witnessing somebody not too long ago. You know what they told me? They told me to go to hell. You know what I told them? I can't. And that's why I'm telling you about Christ, so you don't need to go there. Hey, Paul is not saying that once you're saved, you can lose your salvation and go to hell. By the way, he's also not saying this, that if should he had gone to hell, it meant that somebody definitely would have been saved. You see, there's only one person who could have ever gone to hell so that you can go to heaven. Jesus Christ. And don't you think that Jesus did not suffer hell on that of Calvary? I mean, I just spent 7 straight Sunday mornings on the 7 statements of the cross that Jesus made on that of Calvary. And I want to tell you what, it touched my heart. I mean, I came to a deeper understanding of what Jesus Christ went through, and even that was just a tip of the iceberg of what Christ went through. When Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you understand Jesus Christ was literally going through hell for you and for me? I like what Martin Luther was wanting to write about the 7 statements of the cross. And when Martin Luther came to that passage there, to that statement where Jesus uttered from the cross of Calvary, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Brother Alton, he had pen, he had paper, he was ready to write, but he sat at his desk for 3 days, 3 nights, never slept, never ate. Those of his friends, those of his servants that were there to help, they never disturbed him. They were very concerned. They went to God in prayer because he just sat there for 3 days. Finally, he got up, put the pen down, and he started shaking his head and was heard muttering, saying, "God, forsaking God, who can explain that?" I'm here to tell you, Jesus went through hell so you and I can go to heaven. Listen, Paul is not saying you can lose your salvation, go to hell. He's not saying that if you could go to hell, someone would be saved. Let me tell you what Paul's doing. He's revealing his heart. He's saying, listen, I love these people so much. I love my people, the Jews, my brethren. And you remember, he was a missionary to that of the Gentiles. But he says, I love my brethren so much, I'm willing to go to hell to see them saved. Now, if you're awake this morning, say amen. Amen. Listen to me. If Paul was willing to go to hell to see somebody saved, why are we not willing to go and cross the street? Why are we not willing to pick up the telephone? Why are we not willing to pick up pen and paper? Why are we not willing to talk to the grocer, to the waitress, to the attendant at the convenience store where we get our gas? I'll tell you why. We don't have a heart of agony. We don't have a heart of affection. Paul had a heart of agony. Paul had a heart of affection. And then Paul had a heart of action. Paul had a heart of action. I want to tell you what, Paul's burden went a whole lot deeper than talking about it. Paul's burden went a whole lot deeper than writing about it. By the way, Paul did not just talk about the lost. This is what I like about Paul. He talked to the lost. Can I say this? I won't give you a plug nickel for a preacher who won't go and witness on his own time. We'll give you a plug nickel for somebody who claims to be a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, Sunday school superintendent. They may fulfill their duties on Sunday, but I'm here to tell you, if they don't go throughout their normal walk of life and talk to others about the Lord Jesus Christ, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for them. See, Paul put shoe leather to what he preached. I don't know where you attend church. Many places you go to church here, several different places in the community. You're about to go home wherever home is. You're about to go back to that of your home church. A lot's going to tell about your heart when it comes to visitation time, whether it's on a Tuesday night, Thursday night, or Saturday, about your heart. See, in my mind, I picture the Apostle Paul that every time he entered into a city, here's what Paul would do. He'd go to the synagogues. He would go and talk to people about Jesus. When he finished there, I'm sure he went to houses. And I'm sure he did something like this. And some lady would open the door. And he'd say, "Ma'am, my name is Paul. Can I just have a few moments of your time? I want to share with you one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my entire life. Ma'am, I want to tell you about the day where I was a person who was headed straight for hell because I was a wretched sinner. I was doing all kinds of vile things. I was out killing people. I was out searching for people. I wanted to persecute certain people because of their stand for the greatest man who has ever lived. In fact, he was not just a man, he was God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, ma'am, I was a person whose life was without hope. My life was empty. I had no joy. I was trying to fill my life with the joys of this world, with the pleasures of this world, and I found out they never, ever satisfied, but it was on that one particular day I met Jesus Christ. And how that Jesus Christ showed me for the sinner that I am, and showed me that I'm in need of Him as my Lord and Savior. And I asked Jesus in my heart, and I'm here to tell you, it was the greatest thrill, it was the greatest fun, it was the greatest joy I've ever had when Jesus came to my life. And I just want to tell you, I'm so excited about going and knocking on doors and meeting people just like you, ma'am, to let you know that you too can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that many times, ladies like that would say, don't want to have anything to do with you, and slam the door. I've had doors slammed in my face. I've had shotguns pulled on me. I've had knives pulled on me. I'm sure the same thing has happened to the Apostle Paul, that he's had people threaten his life. We know that he's been beaten. We know he's been thrown in jail. I mean, I love Acts 16 talk about how that they shared Christ, and yet after going to Macedonia and seeing, I like to say it this way, a seller was saved, a teller was saved, and then a jailer was saved. But how that they're there, and in spite of being beaten, and in spite of being persecuted, they still shared Christ. I'm sure as soon as that door slammed in his face, he went to the next door. Hello, sir. My name is Paul. Could I have a few moments of your time? You see, Paul had a heart of agony. Paul had a heart of affection. And Paul had a heart of action. So if you want to know what is the heart of the soul-winning problem, I'm here to tell you the problem is the heart of the soul winner. I want you to listen to me very carefully for the next minute and a half. Say, preacher, why is it so important? I'll tell you why. Because there are over 1.2 million people dying every week around the globe. 1.2 million people are dying every single week. How many of them you think are splitting hell wide open? Does not the Word of God tell us that broad is the way? Said my contention that the majority of them are going straight to hell. I've always asked myself, when I see someone famous on TV that has died, my very first thought, wonder where they went, heaven or hell. Can I tell you, I've asked myself this question, who will be the next one to go to hell? Have you ever wondered that? Who will be the next one to go to hell? Then my thoughts run like this. Could it be the person that I failed to witness to? Wow. Could it be that waitress that you go and you have every once in a while you go to this one particular restaurant? Could it be that the next time you go to that restaurant and that waitress is not there and you ask it, hey, where's Sue? Oh, didn't you hear? A drunk driver crossed the yellow line and killed Sue. And what will immediately run through your mind, I never talked to her about Christ. Hey, could it be that the next person that splits hell wide open, could it be the person that does that is the person you cause to stumble? I'm talking about the way that you lived your life. See, I'm convinced, Brother Bill, Word of God tells us, you know, a lot of times we hear these songs that there will never be tears in heaven. There are tears in heaven. Revelation 21 tells us God's going to take His heavenly hanky out and He's going to wipe away all our tears. Why in the world would there be tears in heaven? Streets of gold? Mansions that Jesus Christ is building for you and for me? Why would we be crying? Well, I'm convinced that we will be there and see the great white throne judgment. And I'm convinced that we're going to see somebody that we rub shoulders with, someone that we've seen, someone that we've told jokes to and we said pleasantries to, and someone maybe who's in your family, someone maybe who's lived next door to you, somebody who you know intimately, and you're going to see them standing before God being judged
by the Lamb's Book of Life and by the books that are opened. And Jesus Christ is going to say, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. He's about to cast them in hell, and they're going to look, and they're going to see you, and they're going to look at you, and they're going to say, why didn't you tell me? You said that you told the same dirty jokes as I did. You watched the same dirty television that I did. You knew Christ, why didn't you tell me? I'll tell you why. Because we do not have the heart of a soul winner. See, how serious is it? It's so serious that Jesus himself says, what does it profit a man should he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? So important that Jesus' own name means that he shall save his people. So important that Jesus says, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. So important that Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. We have the greatest message with our one and only Master. And we have only one mission, to tell others about Jesus. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask your heads to be bowed, eyes closed. I'm not going to give an invitation. I believe in invitations, but this is what I know. Either this message already convinced you of the need of your life, or it didn't. Let me ask you, when's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? You actually remember talking to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's just yesterday. Well, when was the last time before that? Everywhere Paul went, everywhere that Paul went, he told people about Jesus. Let me ask, was there anybody here today say, preacher, that message spoke to my heart. It convicted me. The Holy Spirit took his finger of conviction and he stirred it in my heart. And it came to my realization, I don't have a heart of agony. I don't have a heart of affection. And I most definitely do not have a heart of action. I do not have a soul winner's heart. Nobody's looking. But you say, preacher, pray for me. I want that to change my life. Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Thank you. I'm going to ask that Brother Alton would come. I'm going to let him close as part of the service as he sees fit. But I'm here to tell you, you got a Lord and Savior sitting at the right hand of God that would sure wish, and it's his desire, that you would have a heart just like Paul, that of a soul winner's heart.